My last in a series of sermons on Genesis, although I'm not sure I'm going to get through all of it today, we'll see, because we just have a really full morning, but I know that you'll forgive me if I don't, because that's the theme of the message. When you talk about forgiveness, you talk about gossip or saying bad things about people, those two sermons, you never get any criticism. And but there should be something that you feel, maybe many of you feel, at the seriousness of unforgiveness in the Bible. Now, Joseph somehow made it through. He was sold as a kid. He's sold to people who take him to a foreign land, and he becomes a servant. And he grows up as a servant, and then he ends up in jail for many years. His whole life was completely ruined by what his brothers did to him. Now, Joseph looks pretty good, doesn't he? But that's after many, many years. You got to think he was a little bitter, and he worked his way through that somehow. There's no way he loved his brothers for that whole stretch of time. But he got to where the Bible wants us to go. He got us to where there was total forgiveness. The problem with forgiveness is this is a hard one for us. This is a hard message, especially when we're commanded to love. It's because we want people to pay for their sins. We want them to pay for how they hurt us. And we don't want to let them off the hook. And somehow we think there's an exemption. If the people are bad enough or done enough bad things to me, then I do not have to forgive. In fact, I want to make their life miserable if possible. From the book Forgiving Forward, we hear this. Until we recognize that unforgiveness is a sin, we will view it as an option. And as long as we view it as an option, we will feel justified in our unforgiveness. As long as we feel justified in our unforgiveness, we will not repent of it, and we will be bound to the torment that comes with it. But when we confess our unforgiveness as sin, we are set free. A man who wrote a great book called Total Forgiveness, R.T. Kendall, he was hurt by somebody pretty deeply, real deep. He wouldn't even say what it is in his book, but he was deeply hurt, and he wanted some encouragement in his unforgiveness. So he talked to a friend, kind of thinking he was going to support him, and of course this guy deserves what's coming to him. And the words he heard from his friend were these: "You must totally forgive them. Until you forgive them, you'll be in chains. Release them, and you will be released." Those are hard words. Because in this room right now, there is so much unforgiveness. I don't say it because I know you better than other people. I'm saying in every room I can say that. Any room with this many people is going to have a lot of unforgiveness. There is so much unforgiveness, not because I know personally what your stories are, but I know human beings, and I know human life. We're all hurt. We have imperfect parents. We have imperfect children. We have imperfect dogs and pets. We live in an imperfect world. We have all been hurt. If you have not been hurt, then I don't know. That's like a miracle. Multiple times we've been hurt. But let's be fair. We've also multiple times hurt others. Words and actions. There's a lot of unforgiveness in this room because there is in every room. It's human. It's human to love to some capacity. It's divine, of course, to forgive. There's some problem, though, is that we have to acknowledge it. And we don't acknowledge it, like the quote said, because we feel so justified in it. Somebody deserves punishment. Oh, and you punish them. You may not talk to them. You may be cold to them. That's punishment. You're making sure that they pay. Or you talk about them all the time. We are not supposed to talk about people and what they've done and what they do. Maybe to one person, because you have to talk to somebody, a confidential person. Instead, we talk about these people to many, many people. We share what somebody has done that's bad. I've been more and more cautious through the years because I've seen that many times what I thought was something that they did was not that at all. It was something else. Or their intention was different than I thought. There was a prayer group we had at a church I wasn't present, the other pastor was present for a Lutheran who wanted prayer and couldn't find it in her own church, a prayer team or anything like that, so she came to the Nazarene Church, which is this is the church that I was serving for a while. And at the Nazarene Church, the prayer team surrounded her. And she went on about the issues that she had. It had nothing to do with marriage. It had to do with issues in her life. And then my friend Keith, who discerns the Spirit often, he fell before her and his knees, and he said, "Have you forgiven her?" Or him. "Have you forgiven him?" He knew nothing about her. Nobody knew this woman. But he knew, with God's help, that something else was the issue, not what she said it was. It was unforgiveness. She began to weep because she was not forgiving her husband. I believe so many marriages end in divorce when they start because they start with unforgiveness. You get bitter and angry, and it fumes, and it grows, and it gets worse. We're human, but we're still God's, and He has forgiven us. We pretend it doesn't exist, but it does exist. Most of us in this room have not forgiven somebody. The last time I prepared this sermon years ago, a sermon on forgiveness, that week as I prepared, I realized I had three people I had a fairly serious bitterness towards. This week, just one. Preparation. And it's not because it gets better. It has to keep happening because even Joseph forgave his brothers, but when Jacob, the dad, dies, they came back with a petition saying, "Dad said you can't hurt us." So it's something that keeps coming up. Sometimes you gotta keep dealing with the same hatred or for unforgiveness. I say hatred. It can lead towards hatred. I only hated one person in my life. That was my mother. If you ever felt hatred, it is evil, and it will kill you. So does bitterness and unforgiveness. We let these things fume. I just remember a quote that says that it's like poison that we take, thinking and hoping that the other person is going to die from it. It hurts us. It's poison to us. It ruins us, unforgiveness does. And I know it's a hard place to get to realize it's a sin. And it's a strange one, but yet we have a God who, the whole enterprise of Christ whom he sent was to forgive. And he demands forgiveness. You saw the scripture readings today. These are bold and strong. There's no wiggle room and there's no little cracks. You need to forgive. Why should we forgive? Jesus commands us to forgive. That alone should be good enough. Remember the Lord's Prayer? In the prayer of all prayers, he says, "Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us." It's assuming that we are forgiving those who sin against us. But if you don't forgive people their sins, this is later after the Lord's Prayer, but if you don't forgive people their sins, your Father will not forgive you. That's just striking, isn't it? That's why so many of us, we aren't in alignment with God on this matter. It's a sin. Two, it is God's place to judge and to punish. And we do punish, again, by being cold, by not answering calls, by all kinds of games that we play. We are trying to exact revenge or payback. "Do not take revenge," Paul says, "but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, 'It is mine to avenge, I will repay.'" It's not your business to punish or repay, unless the person did something like criminal. You can forgive somebody and still report them to the police and try your darndest to get them in jail because they belong in jail. That's not the... Forgiving people doesn't mean that even that you like them. You don't have to like people. I mean, we all have things we like and dislike about people. We don't have to like people that we have a bitterness against. We have to love them, though. Love your enemies, in fact. Jesus said, "Love your enemies." It gets even stronger. And that's a sin when you don't, because he does. And supposedly he's transformed us. It's not our place to judge and punish. We're actually supposed to let people go. This is a tough one. A lot of you have been really, really hurt. Really, really hurt. And you know, some of you aren't going to let go. But I'm hoping that through talking about this today that some of us will let go. We got to let go of the person. Do you realize that the longer you hold this grudge, this unforgiveness, the more they control your life? If this is a serious thing, abuse of some kind, they still will control your life until you let them go. Doesn't mean that you shouldn't try to get what's coming to them, report them, and all that. That's a separate issue. But you got to release them. We're going to get to that in just a little bit. Three, unforgiveness will harm your person. Susan Pape said, bearing a grudge will hold you back and damage your health. Bruce and Tony Hebbel said, unforgiveness is the cause of much, if not most, of the emotional pain and turmoil in our lives. That woman who was being prayed for, and Keith, my friend, dropped to his knees and really pointed to the real problem, could very well have had this unforgiveness be the cause of other issues in her life. You do not want this poison in your life, and yet we feel so justified in having it. Unforgiveness harms your person. My mother had to suffer through two pregnancies of her children out in high school. And then a couple other of my brothers, it wasn't me. I was the last one. I learned from their mistakes. And so I watched and I did everything the opposite, so I was the hero, you see. I didn't do drugs and I didn't do this and that. So she suffered a lot. But she became very bitter, went into depression. She was never normal again. And she got bitter at God, which we'll talk about in just a little bit, but she got bitter at God. And I don't think it ever went. She was bitter to the end, and I think it cost her health and life. Unforgiveness is going to harm you. Harm you. And again, if this is serious stuff, it's still needful for you to release them. Let them go. God will be the judge and the punisher. Four, unforgiveness harms your relationship with God. My mother quit going to church. My mother quit talking to God for a while, for years. Just years. This bitterness was so bad and so awful. Years later, decades later, when we're all adults and all my brothers and sisters are doing well, thank you, they're members of the community, helping out, they're good Christian people. And I talked to my mom, and she still said, decades later, she said, from that period of time, I quit loving and I quit receiving love. Isn't that horrible? It harms our relationship with God. You do not want unforgiveness and bitterness in your life. It will harm your relationship with God. Why? Because you're so unChrist-like. Christ forgave us. And then he just says, I need you to forgive others. That's how you pass this on. You forgive forward, as the book title is. Unforgiveness harms your relationship with God. Hebrews 12:15. See to it that no one misses the grace of God. Grace is loving those who are not deserving of that love or forgiving those. See to it that no one misses the grace of God and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. Defiling. Hebrews talks a lot about the Jewish system of holiness and of cleaning the camp morally and purifying and so forth. And it says that it can be a defilement. Bitterness inside us will defile us. It gets in the way. It hinders prayer. If you're not forgiving, you got to realize with that's going to come a whole lot of damage in your spiritual life. Prayers won't function properly. Other things may not work well because you're out of alignment with God. You're going on your own trail and you leave him behind. Because he's not going to go that trail. He went this road up to Golgotha to die for people who hurt him. Unforgiveness, one's anointing can be lost. A church's anointing or our anointing for what God wants us to do, the fruit he wants us to bear in the kingdom. If we're dealing with unforgiveness and bitterness, our anointing, the special blessing that God has in accompanying us in our what we do can be lost because he can't go there. He's committed not to going to where he doesn't forgive. Five, one's anointing can be lost. Lost. Also, it's a foothold for the enemy. You ever heard those words? A foothold to Satan or the devil. What that means is, and it's in the scripture, the New Testament, that is, if you prop a door open, let's say if you get into the Ouija board and the occult, you open a big door and Satan has authority to come through and you'll be great damage. Well, bitterness and unforgiveness is a foothold. It's how the devil gains power even in a Christian's life. Because you open the door and you're welcoming him, because he certainly would love you to continue with that attitude. There's a quote from the book Forgive Forward. Unforgiveness may be the most significant blockage to the church being faithful as God wants it to be. We don't want unforgiveness and bitterness in the church. But it's there, again, because we're imperfect. And I want to state officially, as a representative of the church, I'm sorry for when the church has hurt you. This may go back decades. Maybe when a kid. But I apologize on behalf of the church when it unfairly treated you or hurt you. Now, in this church, like every church, we want to be fruitful in the kingdom. But this unforgiveness and bitterness thing is going to hamper that, detour that, get in the way. We don't want that. There's reasons why you need to forgive. There's so many reasons. But I think the worst is your alignment with Christ who forgave us. We don't want to lose anything in our attempt to try to be something for the world, a great light. But again, our bitterness, our unforgiveness, Satan gets a foothold, and starts to get in. These are all good reasons to repent. And there's three things we need to forgive. Some of us may have all of them, some may have just one. Some of you may just be in a good place right now where you are clean of that. But like I said, I have one that God brought to mind, and when it's brought to mind, you start realizing, oh yeah, I wasn't thinking, but yeah, I am bitter. Talk about this person all the time. You know, I think about this, it's oppressive, it's this cloud. You go through fantasies of you talking to this person and putting them straight. Or you don't talk to them when you pass them. This is a hard teaching. Some of you may not be able to get on board this morning, but hoping that you do. And I don't blame you. It's hard, but just keep going that direction. In fact, I think it's a process. Forgiveness is a process. It's just too tough. Corrie Ten Boom, remember her story? Her family saved Jews, hid Jews during World War II. Corrie, as a girl, ended up with her sister and I think other family members, but her sister was in the same camp. And there was a guard that really, really hurt Betsy, her sister. And he was cruel to many, many people. After the war, many years, she was speaking at a church, and at a break, she saw him. Just hatred sprang up naturally. But she remembered, of course, that this is not, you don't want that. Jesus demands you to forgive. She did forgive, but I don't think it was so clear right away and all that. It came in stages. So just so you know, forgiveness is a big, big one. And in the past, when I forgive people who I'm bitter at, it's a process. It rarely happens like that. If it does, it's the work of the Holy Spirit and God. But I think what we're called to do is head in that direction. You know, it's not sin if we're struggling with this, but we don't want it. You know, we want to forgive. We want to let go of our bitterness, but it's going to be hard, and so it might take time. But you want to be heading in that direction. I believe that's good enough for us right now. Head in that direction and keep asking God to get you further. Help me along further. Help me to let this go. And so we need to forgive ourselves. I'm sorry, others. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. So that's kind of what I've been talking about. Second piece, how about this one? Forgive God. Many of you may be experiencing bitterness at God. My mother, great example again, she was bitter at God. She quit going to church. She thought God ruined her life. A quote from R.T. Kendall, all bitterness is ultimately traceable to resentment at God. We repress this. Deep in our hearts, we believe that God is the one who allowed bad things to happen in our lives. How about that one? Do you have some bitterness at God? The Psalms are full of bitterness. Yelling at God. I'm a Norwegian, so I go to uncharted territory when I go there. I get feeling uncomfortable. You know, God, why did you bring my enemies and let them, you know, rule over me? There's a lot of anger at God, but they express it. You may be bitter at God because he didn't stop your spouse's cancer or a child's accident or whatever that may be. He's okay. He's big enough to take that. But he wants you to receive the forgiveness that he offers. And how about ourselves? Have you forgiven yourself? A few weeks ago, a woman came up after church and said, and she was just delighted, and she said, for decades I've dealt with shame. I have not been able to forgive myself for decades. And she knows it's wrong, but she just can't do it. She just couldn't do it. But she had to keep repenting and keep going. She said, I read the scripture for the day, which was Ephesians chapter 2 about God's grace, and she said peace came over her. And that'd be great if we could just do that, right? I'm afraid to tell you that it's just a hard row. Hard road to go, but we need to head that direction. I want to pray today for these three areas. I want to pray for freedom, maybe a breakthrough in your life with these bitternesses. And I'm going to pray for each one just one at a time. You may be struggling with somebody that you haven't forgiven. And you probably, maybe you know, maybe you thought about it today, just now, or maybe that's been, you've been carrying that. I'm begging you, repent of it and let this person go. Let God take care of that. Let's pray for that. Heavenly Father, I pray for all those here who have somebody who hurt them and they're experiencing bitterness and unforgiveness. God, this is so hard for us. I pray that you give them the power either today or in the days ahead to be able to let this go, let these people go, put them into your hands, and to be able to get on with their life. God, bring healing right now, Holy Spirit. Just bring healing. God, we don't want this. Just break this poison. Father, some people here have been bitter at you because you weren't there. It looks like you weren't there to help or do something. Father, we know that we don't see everything, and so we repent of that. We repent of our unforgiveness at you and what you have or haven't done to us or for us. Just let that go. Holy Spirit, help us to let it go. And then also ourselves, oh God, many of us in this room do not love ourselves because of being loved so imperfectly in life. I pray for a breakthrough. Father, when it says love your neighbor as yourself, it's you could reverse it and say love yourself as your neighbor. God, help us to be released now or in the near future from maybe even hatred to self or unforgiveness and bitterness because... We ask for help in releasing those things that have happened in this church in the past decades. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are Joseph, sold to be killed and coming back to redeem. We thank you, God, that you forgive us in Jesus. Help us to pass that on. In your name we pray. Amen.